yell?
They won't yell.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that anyway. You know me.
Yeah, you can do that.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. It's Thursday, May the 8th, 2003. At this time, I'm going to work open as a subcommittee of the subcommittee, and we're going to be going as an informational hearing until we get a quorum here to deal in the work sessions on Senate Bill 5503 and 5504. So with the tap of the gavel, it's going to be an informational meeting only. Ed, you want to come on up and... You know the drill here. Tell us who you work for, what we ask you to look into, and
who you are.
That, yes.
We don't really care who we work for.
Well, yeah, we want to make sure everyone is disclosed here.
Good morning, Senator George and committee. I am a policy advisor for Frank Morris. In my prior life, I was a professor of computer science at Western Oregon University. I developed the department starting in 1983. So, I was asked to come in today after reviewing some material that was brought to my attention. Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Edward Wright.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Okay. She was giving me a bad time because I assumed we were going to do that. Okay. Any idea on time? Excuse me, one second.
15 minutes.
15, okay. Great, thanks.
She drives.
Legally, of course.
Of course. Okay. And I did check. It's in her Duke scan. Still searching for it.
Okay, thanks. Sorry about that. Edward, go ahead and proceed.
I went with Chairman George over to the Aviation Department day before yesterday and met with Sean McSpadden. McSpadden, thank you very much. And he invited me to visit with the Systems Development and Consulting section of DAS over in Revenue yesterday, which I did. And I reviewed their documents on this Phase 1, which is the specifications stage for the definition of a database or data system, which would eventually become a web-based system, a dynamic web-based, at which they could accept information online from pilots about their airplanes and about registration of the pilots themselves. The problem with the development of this sort of database is it's unique. There are not enough of them out in the public market to where you can go buy something off the shelf and have it 80% correct and then adapt it accordingly. Also, in this particular department, the rules are not well defined. It seems like the history of the working history and the working documents for the department do not exist at this time through the change in personnel. And so they're using a current system that was designed by somebody else who doesn't exist anymore. Of which there are a number of screens which is designed in a PC environment for a single user, of which they could then write unique reports each month. To take that system and now make it into an automated system where you have the reports you need on a monthly basis run by multiple users on a web system with multiple people entering it requires that you clearly define what it is you want to build before you build it. So this particular Phase 1 calls for a funding of $35,809.75, which is based upon 391 hours of time. And it's a time billing, basically. And the base rate for the time billing is anywhere from $71 to $91 an hour, which is consistent with the industrial rate for this type of work. What else can I say?
Well, that's great. That's where we're trying to get the balance. Ed and I talked on the way down here the idea of, because my view of what we were doing relative to aviation is this was the one point at which a lot of concerns of the committee could, in fact, be focused on whether or not some generic or, a structure could be, in fact, laid out and that would, in fact, have provision for many types of reporting. This seems so similar to me to a lot of other agencies and the tracking that they need to do or boards and commissions and stuff like that, that what we were hoping to come out with is whether it was an understanding as to whether or not some uniform system could be put together so you could basically slide it off the shelf, tweak it a little bit, and save money for the agencies. Because obviously, I don't know if you were listening, Ed, but one of the issues here is if we have $100,000 or $200,000 in this agency, we're talking about turning that into $1 million or $2 million by getting it out to our partners in local jurisdiction who apply for federal matching dollars. So every dollar then becomes important because it does have such a possibility of matching. And so, but your feeling is that there is enough uniqueness that we're almost going to have to do this every time from scratch.
The alternate way, Chairman George, is to begin with the design of generic modular units. If the state agreed that such a design would be used by various departments, and then to define what the core would be for each of these. The demographic information is a fairly standard feature in all databases. The fee gathering is another standard feature that can be put into it. There are modules that can be designed and then fit into the system, into the e-government system. Such analysis should probably take place in some degree if, in fact, the state is going to an e-government system.
Can we have you stay right there? We have some folks from DAS that were able to talk about that, this whole concept. Because obviously this is bigger for the committee than just aviation.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Now, for the record, Mike Fries, I'm the Acting State Chief Information Officer.
Mike, pull that mic over.
Yes. Do you need me to restate that?
I think
okay.
She's okay.
Great. I certainly concur with everything that the prior witnesses said, and in fact, we have been looking at doing exactly what you've been talking about, designing modular, reusable components that would be designed in such a way that they have the flexibility to meet multiple agencies' needs. The other piece of that, the work that needs to be done over time, is to take a look at the business processes and some of the underlying statutory drivers of those business processes and see where there can be some harmonization between state agencies. This agency was, in fact, willingly engaged with us in that process. The issue for this agency is that they have an immediate need,
right,
which we need to take care of. Yeah. So we agreed to support moving forward with this immediate project with the understanding that we would keep those concepts that are applicable to the enterprise in mind as we move forward.
But within DAS's IT, you really are thinking about that way, because, I mean, we have a lot of folks out there that have the same problem that they do. And it seems to be a big hit on a small budget for the tracking.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. We are looking at that. And, in fact, we have some foundational components in place that we would use in this system where appropriate. For example, the components that we have in place for e-government, for doing electronic transactions, those kinds of things would be used.
Because we are standardizing the way everybody reports their budgets and keeps track of their records, that should be another
right.
module that would be pretty well
on. Yes, Mr. Chair. In fact, this system will interface with all those other state systems, the statewide financial management application, the Orbitz or budget tracking system. So it's designed to do that.
Any questions? Representative Smith.
Howdy, Chair George.
You don't have a question about it?
The only question I have is if it was your money, would you spend it on this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, absolutely. It's a good investment. And we have done some pretty extensive research on licensing applications that other states have built or bought off the shelf. And this is a good value for the money that's invested.
And Ed, that's the conclusion you came to, too, wasn't it? That it was within the parameters of cost. One thing before you leave, though.
Half the cost in this analysis is to document their management system, right? Just to figure out what they're doing.
Will they? You can, if you've been able to listen in, you see my concern about the fact that we have a process that gathers data primarily for the purpose of getting the money in the collection process. It may have value, the data may have value, but we may also in the near future be able to download that straight from the feds, from the Federal Aviation Agency. Will this system have a provision that sometime in the future we may decide to take another look at whether or not we should operate this process the way we're doing it? In other words, for example, one of the suggestions I made was a minuscule increase in AVGAS in order to cover the search and rescue, which is the reason we do it, and bringing the data in that they would need as far as contact the pilots and stuff to be able to pull that in basically from the federal government, FAA.
Mr. Chair, that would be one of the things that we would be defined in this phase of the project. So we'd want to, certainly where we're going is building systems with enough flexibility that they can exactly anticipate those kinds of additional requirements down the road.
Very good. Further questions? Well, this has been very helpful. Thank you, guys. Thanks for moving that direction because it does come up regularly.
Yes. Do you need Gary Weeks still?
Yes. Well, we asked Gary to come. Gary, come on up. And I thought he was going to be coming up when we did that.
Mr.
Good
Chairman.
Good morning. We're sorry to bring you down here if we're not going to ask you questions.
Well, Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Gary Weeks, Director of the Department of Administrative Services. I'm happy to be in the audience and just listen, but I'm also happy to be here and answer any questions you may have. I think Mike's done a really good job of saying to you that we are moving in the direction of creating the kind of modules that you just described. And you may know that the Board of Pharmacy project, which is now underway, we had held them off for more than a year, hoping that we could roll them into a new model. And when I came on board, it was clear to me we were still months away from being able to develop that. And I said to Mike, we can't keep the Board of Pharmacy waiting on the system anymore. So I directed him to go and begin to start the Board of Pharmacy's project. And I talked to the Pharmacy Board Director about this, and I said, one of the things you have to understand is we're going to try to build this system for you in a way that will reflect models that we want to build for other agencies. And so there may be some things that we're going to do that are going to help us down the line as well as help you, and I need your support on that. So and they were fine with that, but we definitely want to get to the place that you've described.
Well, also Senator Morris and I have talked about this, and that is that anyone in private business always tries to look out in front and kind of project, well, what might I need? And then if you can build that in early, then you're not coming back to reinvent the wheel for the next segment. And I see Mike shaking his head that, yes, you're thinking
right,
that way.
Exactly.
Giving additional flexibility, additional capacity into the system to handle, you know, what future things might just agency might decide to do.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think it's not only this agency, but as we work with the Board of Pharmacy and this agency, we're sort of building a requirements pool. What are the requirements for these licensing and certification systems that seem to have some commonalities amongst them? And so how do we then look to design a more common system that takes those requirements into consideration? So.
Excuse me. And that's been the concern. I think Senator Dukes had a similar concern, and that is so many of these things seem to be absolute parallels. In other words, similar requirements, even maybe the total number of folks, the demographics of the folks seem to have definite units or parallel ideas or requirements of accountability. And that's why the concern I had anyway was that if we have a framework that can incorporate what seems to be very uniform requirements of accountability. So, Senator Dukes? Any questions? We have the great expert.
Well, I'm assuming that you've asked all five questions. $100,000. $10,000 for a website. You guys are really expensive, and we've got a whole lot of state agencies. And by the time we start adding up a web page for all of them, that's the simple web page for a commission that doesn't take money, that doesn't, you know, interact and all of that kind of stuff. If we're out there and an aeronautics needs $100,000 for a system to keep track of their finances, then I don't know how many aeronautics-sized agencies we have, but that's a huge hit to the budget. And so what do you spend? What does it cost? What do you charge per hour to agencies?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dukes, it depends on the service. If it's architecture design, project management, project analysis, all those have different hourly rates. And Mike and Sean McFadden have put together a list of our rates compared to all the private sector rates. We have that for you. And what you'll find is that the hourly charge for project management, architectural design, project analysis, the state rate is at the bottom of the list of every private contractor that we have on the general contract right now. So, I mean, we think we're competitive. I wouldn't disagree. $100,000 is a lot of money, but for a system that's it's more than a database, we're building. We're building a business process system that includes the database, all the licensing requirements. In this case, there's no CE, I don't think. Ann can correct me, but in other cases like pharmacy and nursing boards, you have to build on all the continuing education requirements, capacity to track those, and then link this system to the state financial management system and Orbitz, which is going to eventually replace the financial management system. It's not a, you know, it's not a real simple process to go through. And as Mr. Wright testified before you were here, there's some real issues around the aviation department in terms of being able to figure out exactly what the management requirements are right now. So we're going to spend considerable time doing that. And you know what, I think Representative Smith asked the question of, you know, would you spend $100,000 if it's your money? And I think the answer we gave is yes. $100,000 is not an unreasonable amount to build a brand new system like that when you can't buy it off the shelf and when it has as many variables as possible. I don't know, on your earlier question about $10,000 to build a website, I mean, I don't even know the website you're talking about. I'd have to research that. That sounds expensive to me. Having been involved in more than one website, but
I'm talking $36,000 that we're looking at, because nobody knows for sure, just to design the program. Now, granted, you have to tie into the treasurer's office and Orbitz, but even at that, it's just beyond my imagination that we haven't built a system that is complex enough to make sure it costs all of that. I guess I don't compare it with us going out to all of the private sectors. I don't know. It's just, I said yesterday, and I still believe it, I'm not sure we can afford it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dukes, you missed a part of the conversation that we had earlier, which is what we're trying to build a system where we'll have modules in place so that these licensing boards, certification boards, will be able to tie into more of a common system. Now, in order to do that, they're going to have to give up maybe some of the unique and special things they want to do, and that's going to be my job to say we're not going to custom every licensing system in the state of Oregon. We're going to have some modules that we think will deliver. There's common demographic information that every one of these systems has to collect for most of them. There's continuing education requirements that you figure out how to build a module to collect that. So there's commonalities there. And we are going to build that kind of a model so that it won't cost $100,000, and we aren't going to have a uniquely designed system. Even though some boards and commissions are going to want that, we're not going to offer that.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair George. I wonder if there's a way of taking what some of us perceive as lemons and turning it into lemonade. Statutorily, what are the limitations on partnering with a Portland State University or an OIT or a U of O or OSU and their graduate doctoral programs in computer science and having them help us put something like this together?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Smith, there aren't any statutory limitations for us to partner with higher ed, and we do it a lot in the open communication systems and the educational networks. Those are all partnerships with higher ed. So there's nothing that would prohibit us from trying to draw on the support of graduate programs at any of our institutions.
Follow up. You know, to me, one of the greatest mistakes we're making is the fact that we're not our own customer all the time as a state agency. And if, you know, if there's a chance for us to take $100,000, if that's what it's going to take to do this, and to make our customer or our supplier, excuse me, one of our major universities who can provide the service and put $100,000 into their program, to me it seems like those are the type of steps we should be taking, and that's what Senator Dukes was saying yesterday.
I also said that people laugh at me every time I say it. So
I think it's a great idea.
You didn't laugh. That's good.
It stuck with me. I thought about it last night. So,
well, but I'm Mr. Chairman and Representative Smith, I don't think it's to be laughed at. I mean, there are opportunities for us to do that. We have to, you know, we have to get the right students. We have to secure the agreements with the universities. We have to be take care of, you know, if there are issues around performance and liability. I mean, we're gonna be responsible for those people,
right,
as our contractors. But it's certainly, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, and we do a lot of partnering with higher ed institutions already. So.
Can I ask one last question?
Certainly.
Is that a compromise that could be agreed to?
On this?
Let me ask the question more pointedly. Is that a compromise that could be agreed to for $100,000 to try and work with higher ed to put this together?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Smith, I didn't know we were trying to reach a compromise here.
Let me know yesterday.
and I don't have the benefit of all your conversation about this in the past. Let me just say we would be happy to look to see if there, as we build this system, and we even do the first part, which is the requirements and design and so on, we would be happy to see if there's a university system that would want to be part of that whole first phase work. Because we're going to bring that back to the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Technology before we ever go into the second phase. So let me just commit to you, we'd be happy to make those conversations.
Again, for the record, Mike Fries, Acting State Chief Information Officer. We would certainly be interested in working with the university system. I do want to point out, though, that this first phase is the business analysis. And it's what you're talking about there, this is not stuff that somebody right out of college is going to be able to do. We're looking for experienced business analysts, and those are our higher level IT folks.
Chair George, without trying to defend Portland State University, I came out of Portland State with an MBA, and let me tell you, there are some very, very technically skilled individuals there. And while I represented probably the minority of students as a younger student, there are some skilled people who could step up and most likely assist in this.
I think, Mr. Chairman, for the record, I also have my graduate degree from Portland State and agree with Representative Smith that there are some very good people who are coming out of this program.
We need a Portland State tie today.
I think what we want to commit to is to look and see, is there an opportunity here with Portland State?
That's fair for me.
To bring some of their folks in to help us in the first phase.
That's fair with me.
We have a question from Senator Morris for a comment.
Well, I was a skeptic yesterday, but after having Ed Wright do further investigation, I'm very comfortable. And I would move that policy package 102-103 be approved, $35,000 for the program development.
We'll have to go there in a minute. Right now, we're just an informational.
Well, I'm ready to go.
We have Representative Hanson.
Is he taking Margaret Carter's place?
I withdraw the motion.
I'm ignoring your motion.
I like the momentum here, so I'll keep my question real brief. What I'm seeing from some of the questions that have been raised about this project, and certainly this is a very, very minor project in terms of the scope of all the IT needs of the state of Oregon, I think we've got certainly a credibility problem with the legislature in terms of just the incredible number of dollars, the perception of the legislature in terms of how the money is being spent. We had a kind of casual remark at one of the full Ways and Means Committee briefings by a person from Intel that suggested that our expenses, that we weren't following some of the common, we weren't following the state of the art of our own IT industry. And I was thinking, as this issue took probably a disproportionate amount of time to deal with in this committee, and we've got probably issues all through the budget, maybe what's needed is at some point a two-day workshop or a forum that we could bring people from our private IT industry, your people together, academics from the state, and the legislature, and have a real discussion of what are the strategies. I'm very pleased to hear of the strategies of much commonality as possible between the smaller departments. But Is there some way we could create some type of a forum or a workshop that could bring all of these elements together, mostly for the education of every education and comfort level of the legislature, so that we were more comfortable with what are the strategies over the next decade? Because I know your experience in human resources, the information technology needs of the human resources department are just staggering.
Mm-hmm.
The type of system we probably should have in public safety could be $40 to $60 million to have the type of information that our public safety industry system needs to be able to communicate on court rulings, expanding LEDs to the point that it's usable by everybody in the system. These are some. I think we could probably easily identify $1 billion worth of IT infrastructure needs that we're going to need over the next decade, and raising our comfort level with how we're going to get there. And getting the absolute best advice from academics in the private sector as well as from our own department, I think would be invaluable to the legislature.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, I agree. I think a meeting like that could be helpful. I want to do everything I can to improve the credibility of the technology group. I'd like to, though, defer that until I get a CIO off. I mean, some of you may know I made a difficult choice here recently, and that was to replace the state CIO. And we're engaged in a search for a CIO. And I'm looking for someone who has some pretty broad and deep experience, I don't care whether it's in the public sector or the private sector, to manage the state's technology program. We've had this announcement on the streets for about 2 weeks. We have 350 applications.
Wow.
I've recruited CIOs over the last 29 years, and I've never been able to get more than 20. John Cuddy was hired under my watch. Dave White I helped hire. And so it's just amazing. And these are people with great experience, people that have run major technology shops in large companies, and part of it is just because of the way the market is. I mean, the business isn't doing well. The dot-com folks have put a lot of talented people on the streets, and we're using Intel, Tektronix, Protiax, a lot of firms that are in private sector to network and develop these applications for us. The interview committee that I'm going to use to interview and try to sift this through this is going to be both public and private folks. So I'm after the best possible CIO. That's one step for me. The second is the statute calls for a information technology council. It's supposed to be made up of certain kinds of folks, people from the business sector and people from the public sector. It's not operational. It hasn't been operational for a while. And so I want to reconstitute that. I've already talked with some people in the private sector who have agreed to serve on it and really make the council, that's a statutory requirement, a real viable group working with a new CIO that I think will bring to the state the kind of experience and expertise we have to have. And so what I'd like to do is get the council in place, get a CIO hired, and then follow through on the kind of suggestion you've made, Representative Hansen, which is to bring folks together and to begin to talk about a long-term strategy. I mean, I recognize there's not a lot of comfort or confidence in the technology business for DAS and other agencies, and I'm going to do my best to try to improve on that and change that. And I think it starts with the leadership of the technology group itself. So.
Yeah, Representative Hansen's comments were very good. I just, as you're doing all this, I mean, we understand that when it comes to a human services system or ODOT or, you know, one of the big agencies, we're way beyond our scope. And so we tend to ask a lot of questions and then adopt them because we don't know what we're doing anyway. But the little stuff, I mean, that's, I think, the stuff that's going to kill you. It's when we see a little thing. I mean, quite honestly, you can take any data processing system and create a system that will track who got their continuing education and who didn't, and we'll give you a report on that. So some of that to us, I mean, we do that when we run campaigns or when we're tracking stuff in the office. And so we think we understand some of that littler stuff. And I think you just got to think outside the box. And if you do turn to a university, you don't have to hire those guys as contractors. You go to the graduate students and you offer them an internship, or it's just their graduate project. And yes, you can pay them something, but you don't have to go the way we normally would do it. What we're saying is to do it, think about it differently. And if it helps at all, I don't think anybody sitting on this committee is going anywhere in the next few years. So we're going to be here to help. Whether you want to
promise
or not.
I'm not sure that's a promise or a threat.
However,
I'm happy about
to
it,
take
though.
Senator Duke has an excellent memory.
I know that. We're considering it for several years.
Are there any further questions about this? We can deal with it in a little bit less manner. If it's okay, I'm going to close the public hearing and open this a work session. Okay, let's do that. I'm going to close the public hearing.
Information.
Yes.
Just
information hearing. Yes, excuse me. Information
hearing. Information hearing.
Yes.
As all of us know, we've had the wonderful service of gentlemen before us for a long time, and for him to come back our chief financial officer for the state is a welcome home, and I'm so glad, Gary, that you're back Oregon. And I know one thing, we can expect great things, because you know most of us here who don't mind putting you on the line, but we also know that you don't mind delivering and cooperating. And so that's one good thing. I'm so glad that you're back here, and we can expect great things.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to close the information meeting, and at this time, the quorum president opened the work session on Senate Bill 5503. Please tell us where we are.
Mr. Chair, we have one item, one policy package to adopt. That is package 102 and 103, and that's on page 2 of the memo. And that's relating to the information, the database projects for the department. My recommendation was to approve the project and unschedule $65,000 of it until the department finishes the first phase of detailing what the requirements of the system need to be and report to the JLCIMT and the emergency board for rescheduling.
Salute. And so the package 102 and 103 with the reflected is the motion.
Thank you, Chair George. Just a comment. I really do hope we will look to see if higher ed can participate in the process. And with that, I'll be casting an eye.
I think that is an important point. When we were out there the other day, one of the discussion was is that seniors are required to do those sort of things. And, of course, you have people that are coming in. The cost of that is free. Agreements can be, here's the agreement with the university, you pull it off the shelf, and once you get a process going like that, I think it's a great opportunity for the learning education of the student, but also an opportunity for us to save money, particularly for agencies that have a relatively small budget. Okay, well, I'm going to do this without objection, if that's all right. Everyone seems to be in agreement. Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, then we'll go to the
next. Mr. Chair, we'll be watching.
Yes.
We can go to the next page where we can. I'm recommending changes in the appropriation bill itself. We'll need a motion to amend the Senate Bill 5503 as follows. The budget bill is being approved then in the amount of $14,073,496.16 FTE by deleting in line 10 $7,827,043 and inserting $7,705,789. Do you want to do it line by line, or do you want to do it as one?
I just want to know where you are.
Oh, right here.
Right at the bottom of page 3.
There you go. Is everyone agreement? Well, I suppose we can uncouple it. Right now, we'll assume we're going to do it as a unit.
As a unit.
Okay.
Thank you. Line 11, delete $183,218 and insert $101,707. Line 12, insert a new subsection 3, General Aviation Entitlement Program, for $6,016,000. And line 13, insert a new subsection, Capital Improvements, $250,000. And also, well, we did that yesterday, so. Those would be the amendments to the budget.
Chair, I have a question. Do we then get to the unbalanced?
Why don't we take that up first? That's a good point. Okay. Sorry. There is an ending balance of $237,000 more than the agency needs for its 6 months carryover, which is on the spreadsheet in the back page of your handout. And that $237,000 could be built back into the budget in, and I think the agency was suggesting either the financial aid to municipalities or into capital. I probably would recommend at this point, given that there are some unknown projects out there and match requirement needed, that we may just leave it in the ending balance. And if things change during the interim and the agency is required to come, you know, has some additional need, they could come to the emergency board and request use of those additional limitations.
Is everyone comfortable with that one? I mean,
unless there's something written to the emergency board, all these years being an emergency board, we can get pretty quacky. Why didn't you do it while I was in session? Was there a problem?
Right.
So add something.
That shows that you know they've been advised to come to the emergency board.
We could put that in the budget report.
Yes, good. Because otherwise, when we get an emergency board,
why are you coming to us? Why we just got out of session? Why do you get the session?
Right.
That kind of stuff.
And so,
you guys help me with this. Is it appropriate for us to? My recommendation would be that this, in fact, would be directed out to our partners in order to see if they can fact enhance match. And that's kind of where you were indicating yesterday that you preferred. Just come on up and help us out with this.
Yes, Chair George, we have already increased the amount to, I'm sorry, Ann Crook, Director of the Oregon Department of Aviation. Through this process, we've already added a significant extra amount of money to the FAM grant program, and I'm actually not sure that in the next biennium we'd be able to spend more than that, because the local governments, it takes some time to plan and figure out what they're going to do. And our history has been that as we increase that program, there's always a lag of a couple of years for the local governments to be able to catch up with the new money that's available to them. And when I was reviewing, like you asked me to last night, the ending balance, the budget now does contain two $1 placeholders in the capital construction bill that even the ending balance now isn't quite enough to fund those at our current anticipated rate. So I think I agree with LFO staff that I would rather leave the reserve to fund capital construction projects that we're anticipating, but we don't have the specific dollar amounts yet.
So as soon as you determine that you would go back to the e-board and all right. I'm comfortable with that.
And the $1 limitation implies that they're going to come back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, given that, then the amendments that I had outlined would stand as they were presented.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Reed.
I'll take a swing at this. I move adoption of the recommended appropriation bill amendments listed on pages 1, 2, 3, 3 and 4.
Yep.
How's that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sounds good to me. Everyone understand what we're doing? Okay. Without objection.
Mr. Chair, you need a motion to move the bill with the DPAS recommendation to the full committee.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of Senate Bill 5503. Thank you. And with the due pass recommendation to the full Ways and Means Committee.
Okay.
Senator Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair George. I just want to applaud Ann one last time for the fine work they're doing. If you've ever had a chance to work with this department, it's almost amazing. You come out of there scratching your head wondering how are they able to get done what they do. And so for that, I compliment you. And I encourage all of you, if you ever have an aviation project, get a hold of Ann because she is a wealth of information.
What?
Go ahead.
For the record, we have elbow going on. All right, we have a motion before us. Is there any other further the comments? Are everyone agreeable that to that? Or would then without objection?
So
do we need to deal with that?
Wait, we have another bill.
We do. Yes, we're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 5503, and we're going to open the work session on Senate Bill 5504.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is the fee bill for the Department of Aviation. This is the bill that during the interim the agency adopted administrative rules changing the methodology of assessing fees for accessing airfields. The new methodology is a more fair way of getting the user to pay for the damage to the roads. I mean, to the
to the
runway.
The road to runway.
to the runway.
It's a weight mile from there.
It's a weight mile air tax.
Yes. So I'm recommending approval of the bill.
Well, I am also, because in here I am on record supporting fee bill. Senator Morris.
So
thank you. Oh, so moved. Okay, thank you. Are there any discussion or concern about this? If not, we'll do it as objection. So moved. We'll close the work session.
Wait. We need to move it to the full Ways and Means.
Oh, well, pardon me. I mean, I'm trying to get him out of here. No, he did. But that was part of
he
the
moved approval.
Okay. That's it. All right.
So moved again.
So moved. Without objection. Now I will close the work session on Senate Bill 5504. Is there any further thing in information or action to come before the committee?
No.
None. We will adjourn. Thanks, everyone.
Next week, he's moving on to.
Thanks. I'll let you know my schedule. Again, I've got to prepare HL.
Test 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's what it was.
It was the plug. Okay, I kind of jiggled up a little bit just to see.
Yeah, what it was, I had to unplug it back in again.
Okay.
That took care of it.
Good, thank you.
Sure.